Frohlich und Chanukah to everyone. Let's begin tonight with the words of the Bach, the famous words of the Bach. The Bach tells us how Chanukah came to be. Because our enemies are always looking for ways to exploit Klal Yisrael and to pick up on our weaknesses. So the question is, what was the weakness that Klal Yisrael had that led to the attack of the Yavanim during this Tekufa? And the Bach, the Bais Chadash, in his commentary on the Torah very famously, depicts the scene. What was it? What were we lacking in that allowed Yavan to take advantage of the Beis Hamikdash? So the Bach tells us, "Bachanaka ikra hagazera haisa al shi'as rashlu ba'avoda." The reason the Yavanim were able to take advantage of our Beis Hamikdash to cause destruction to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's house is because the people in charge of the house, the Kohanim, who Chazal usually described as being his reason, people who are very dedicated and very passionate and very committed. Says the Bach, the Iker HaGzera was al shi'as rashlu ba'avoda. They became lazy about the avoda. They weren't excited about the avoda of the Beis Hamikdash anymore. Aval kein haisa gzera levatel mehem ha'avoda. And therefore, if you don't like, Hashem says, you don't like my Beis Hamikdash, I'll take it away from you. You're not excited about the opportunity to serve me. It's getting old. You're tired of doing the avoda day in and day out. It's remarkable because the Kohanim didn't even spend that much time. Meaning, based on the rotation of the Kohanim, 2 weeks out of the year, at very great intervals, he had opportunity to serve. And yet they were bored. The Kohanim were bored. His rashlu ba'avoda. Kedetanya b'brais, as the brais explains, shegazer alein osu ha'rashal levatel ha'tamid. That because they were lazy, right, because the tamid, the consistency with which they were doing the avoda, was becoming stale, so Hashem says, you know what? You don't like it anymore, so I'll take it away from you. V'od amar lehem mitzvah achas yesh b'yadam. And the enemy said, they have one mitzvah. That if we could just stop this mitzvah, we'd be able to take over the whole place. If we could stop them from doing this one mitzvah, that would be the end of them. What mitzvah was that? The hadlakas haminorah. That they were targeting things of tmidus. Because again, that was the problem. The Klal Yisrael were doing things, they were doing it day in and day out, with a sense of tmidus, a sense of consistency. But they were doing it without excitement. And therefore the enemy said, "Kol zman shemed likeno san tamid, heim omdin." As long as they're lighting the menorah constantly, they can stand. But because, yeah, we were doing it, but we weren't doing it with excitement and passion. Omdu v'timu kol hashmanim. And therefore they came and violated the Beis HaMikdash. U'keshechazur b'tshuva limsor nafsham al avoda. And then when the Jews, finally, the Kohanim realized what a terrible mistake it was, and they became passionate with Mesiras Nefesh to fight for the Beis HaMikdash, Hoshiyam Hashem al yedei Kohanim ovdei ha'avoda b'Beis Hashem. Those same Kohanim, who had no ratzon to serve Hashem, all of a sudden they found tremendous kochos, mesiras nefesh, unbelievable ratzon, and they were able to bring about this remarkable miracle of the neros. Alkei nasa hanes gam kein b'neros, because it was the same neros that they had become bored of, that they were able to now fight for. So you see, the whole root of Chanukah was a certain laziness that set in, and that's why, of course, the Chanukah, the menorah, the eish, representing Hislavos. Beis Yaakov is Eish, and Yosef is Lahava. The Jewish people are supposed to be on fire. And when we become bored, we become stuck in our ways, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away those gifts that He's given us. The very name of our enemy, Yavan, is actually related to a word in Tehillim Perek Mem. The Pasuk says, V'ya'aleini mibor sha'on, mitit ha'yavain. Yavain means mud. Yavain means mud. Mitit ha'yavain, sunken in mud. If you remember, some of us had the opportunity, we were learning about Eish, Ruach, Afar, and Mayim. From Rav Chaim Vital in the Shari Kedusha. And he explains there that of the Dalad Yesodos, mud or earth, afar, right, earth, mud, represents atzlus, represents laziness. And therefore it's not by chance that the enemy, the one who was fighting against us at this time, was Yavan, Milashon Yavain, the mud, the one who we were sunken into. Even the letters Yavan, the Sfarim say, Yud, Vav, Nun. Each letter going down, down, down. Right? The Yud goes down to a Vav, goes down to a Nun. Mamish sunken in the mud. The Trisker Magid wrote a sefer called Magen Avram. And in the Magen Avram he says, of the Dalad Yesodos, Mayim, Eish, Ruach, the only one that doesn't move at all is Afar. Mayim moves, fire moves, water moves. Right? And therefore says the Trisker Magid, our enemy Yavan, Milashon Yavain, the mud, the earth, right? We became stuck. We became complacent. We were stuck in our places. And therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you don't like my Beis HaMikdash, you're not excited about it. You're doing the avoda, but you look like you're half asleep, that you're dead. There's no Eish, there's no Lahava, there's no fire. Hashem says, that's it, I'll take away the Beis HaMikdash. So how do we recover? How does the Klal Yisrael recover from such a loss when a Kadosh Baruch Hu takes away a Beis HaMikdash? So the answer is, The way to correct the rifyon, the laziness, right, the hisrashlus, in the lashon of the Bach, is of course to respond, like we said, with tremendous passion, a tremendous ratzon. Let's learn the Gemara. We learned this Gemara last week. Let's learn it again. The famous Gemara of Mai Chanukah. And it's really amazing if you think about what the Kohanim did. The Gemara says, Mai Chanukah. What is Chanukah? How did it come to be? Ditanu Rabbanan b'chafei b'kislev yomei the Chanukah t'manya inun. Delo lemispeid b'hon adlo des anos b'hon. On the 25th of Kislev, or the 8 days of Chanukah, we're not allowed to fast, we're not allowed to have hespedim. Shekishenichtesu yavanim leheichal, timu kol hashmanim shebeheichal. When the Yavanim entered the Heichal, Timu kol hashmanim shebeheichal. They destroyed all of the shaman in the Heichal. And then the Gemara goes on, Ukishagavra malchus beis chashmonai v'nitzchu, bad kuvelo matzvel apachechet shal shaman, shayamunach b'chos lo shal kohen gadol. Then the Yavanim, the chashmonayim, gathered their strength, and they conquered, and they won, and they searched, and they found the pach shaman. The Achronim asked, why does it say Timu kol hashmanim, that all the oil was ruined? And then half a line later, it says, Badku Matsu Pach Shemen. Then they searched and they found. So it wasn't all ruined. The answer is, if we would have walked into that Beis HaMikdash, we would have said it's all ruined. There was no sign of any Tara. The whole place was Tameh, completely defiled, completely ruined. And most people, certainly people who were lazy, would have said, forget it. It's not worth trying. There's nothing here. Timu Kol HaShmanim, there's nothing left. And yet, there were a couple of brave Chashmonayim. And to me, the most outstanding word in this Gemara, Badku, they searched. Badku, they searched. What were they searching for? The Gemara says to the naked eye, Timu kol hashmanim, there was nothing. Tosfos says, you know where they found the Pach Shemen? They dug it out of the ground. They were digging up the earth. They said, there has to be something here. And with tremendous ratzon, with tremendous cheshek, they continued to search and to search and to search. And finally they found. And even after they found, you know how courageous they had to be to light that menorah? Because they could have said, it's not going to last. What's the difference? Let's wait until we have the oil. What's the point of starting? We're going to have to stop again. But they said, you know, we have to just try. And it was that ratzon, it was that courage. And that's how they fought back against the rifyon. Malik always comes, rafu yadeim in a Torah. The rifyon, the weakening of our avoda, was responded to with this tremendous ratzon. Right? Again, they could have looked at Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is assimilated. There's really no point of trying. We're a tiny band of religious Jews. Right? Just accept the new, you know, the new world order. This is how it's going to be. And yet, Badku, they searched and they searched and they searched and they found. And when they were finally able to find, they were able to achieve unbelievable things. Nisim v'neflos. And it only goes to show how far the Koach HaRatzon goes. I saw Rav Avram Shor writes in one of his volumes, Lekach V'Aliba from Tavshin Samach Aleph, he says that Rifyon is Lashon Ratzon. Is that what you said? Oh, that's right. Rifyon is Lashon, is Gematria Ratzon. Right? Rifyon means a weakening of the Avoda. His Rashis. A weakening, a rifyon. Right? But they turned that rifyon into ratzon. They turned it into passion, into desire. And they dug up the earth, and they found that pachsha. You can't give a shir on Chanukah without mentioning the famous question of the Beis Yosef. The most famous question, right, that Rav Yosef Karo asked in his Beis Yosef commentary on the Torah, why do we have 8 days of Chanukah if really they had enough oil for one day? There should be 7 days of Chanukah. He gives three answers to that question. The famous question of the Beis Yosef, right. Rav Moshe Wolfson points out, it's interesting. He says, this Shabbos, Parshas Miketz, is always Shabbos Chanukah. And in Parshas Miketz, it's the only parsha in the Torah where we find the phrase Beis Yosef and Kesef Mishnah, two of the Sfarim written by Rav Yosef Karo, because he's the one who revolutionized this question this time of the year. Okay, you have to be a big believer to like that type of Torah. Okay, but anyways, the question of the Beis Yosef, right? Why do they have 8 nights of Chanukah? There should have been 7 nights of Chanukah. So the truth is, there is a girsa that we have in the She'iltos. The She'iltos was written by Rav Achai Gaon, in the period of the Gaonim, right after the Gemara. And Rav Achai Gaon says that when they found the Pach Shemen, the Lashon that he has, again, our Gemara doesn't have like this, but the Lashon that he has is that there wasn't even enough oil to last one night. Our Gemara says, Badku Umatsu Pach Echad Shel Shemen, right? Which was enough for one night. But he says, no, they found the Pach Echad that wasn't even enough for one night. So already the first night, the fact that it lasted the whole night was a miracle. Again, to find the Pach Shemen that's incomplete and to still try to light it, you have to be a person of tremendous love and commitment to mitzvahs to be willing to try such a thing. But I'll go one step further tonight. I'll share with you an amazing, amazing thing that the Piyaz Etzner Rebbe writes in his Sefer Derech HaMelech. In the Derech HaMelech of the Piyaz Etzner Rebbe, in his drasha for Shabbos Chanukah, he says a remarkable thing. He says, you don't even have to change the gears of the Gemara to make a miracle out of that first night. He writes, Kishetimu kol hashmanim, shu bechinas havaya. Part of a lengthier thing he's explaining. Gam es keilehem timu. The kelim themselves became tamei. Right? Not only was the oil made tamei, but the vessels in which they were in were made tamei. Umameila afim hayalahem shemin tahor lo hayalahem b'malit. No, even if they had pure oil, there was no kli to even put it in. There was no kli. There was no receptacle to even store the pure oil in. Then listen to what he says. Aval badku v'lo matzu ela pach echad shel shemin. The lashon of the Gemara is that they searched. That was tremendous. That was tremendous courage to search. They searched and they found pach echad shel shemin. Says the Piyazetz Rebbe, hadiyuk b'gemara shel shem. They found a container of oil. He says, pach echad shel shemin. Right? Lo im shemin. It didn't actually have oil in it. It doesn't say a pach with shemin. It doesn't say a pach shemin. It says a pach shel shemin. So the Piyazetz says a remarkable thing. He says, rak matzu pach reik. They found an empty jar. Shel shemin. It was an oil jar, a pure. It wasn't made tamei. Shayamunach bechosma shel kohen gadol v'lo timu es hakli shayamunach bekarka bechosma. That the only thing they found was a jar, an empty jar that was tahor. And yet, what did they do? I don't know. They walked over to the menorah, they closed their eyes, and they tried, and they poured, and something came out. Nisim v'neflos, to make the miracle that much more remarkable. But again, even if you don't take the approach of the Piyazetz and the Derech HaMelech, or the Shiltos, that there wasn't even enough oil, even if they had enough for one night, but still to have the courage to try, when Klal Yisrael was so assimilated, and the Beis HaMikdash was Timul Kol HaShvanim, the place was so damaged and so much wrecked, right, ruined, that they had the courage to try was a remarkable thing. In the Tefillah that we insert into the davening on Chanukah, we use a Lashon Lashkicham Torah Secha, the Yevanim came to cause us to forget the Torah, Ulavira Mechuke Ritzonecha. The Yevanim came to try to uproot our Ratzon. That a Jew should be a person of ratzon. A person who does things, again, with cheshek and with desire. Right? Not rifyon, but with ratzon, with intensity. And there's a well-known statement. It's not a chazal, it's not a gemara, it's not a medrash. But there's a statement. Ein lecha davar ha'omed b'fnei ratzon. That there's nothing that can stop a ratzon. You can have an army of 13 Jews against tens of thousands, like Rashi says at the end of Vezos HaBracha. You can have a Beis HaMikdash that's timbo kol ha'shmanu. But ein lecha davar, if you have a real ratzon, when the Kohanim realized it was our Rifyon, it was our Hisrashos that cost us the Beis HaMikdash, they said the only way we can turn things around is to have unbelievable Ratzon and desire. Right? Again, we don't have, it's not really a Maimer Chazal, this Ein Lecha Davar HaOmed B'fnei HaRatzon. But many, many Sfarim bring it. Some say, perhaps it's rooted in a Zohar. The Zohar in Parshas Truma says, Kol Milin Da'alma, everything in the world, Lo Talyan Ela B'Ra'usa, is dependent upon Ra'usa, dependent upon Ratzon, dependent upon desire. If you have desire, you can achieve anything. And the Chanukah miracle was created by the desire of those brave Chashmonaim who were willing to try, who were willing to do the impossible. It was that desire, that willingness, that courage to look, that ability to find, and eventually to light, even when it didn't seem like it would be able to last long enough. It was that unbelievable ratzon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned into a miracle. I'll tell you an amazing story from Rav Chaim Stein Zatzal, tells the Rosh Yeshiva. 1941, Rav Chaim Stein was running for his life with 16 other Bachrim, Bnei Torah, and he was fleeing into Asia at the time. And he was traveling throughout the war, and he said what kept those Bachrim alive was their desire to do mitzvahs in the face of such oppression. Right? To be able to get a mitzvah here, and the longing to be connected to Kedusha and to mitzvahs, and again, it was very, very difficult times. So he said, they started thinking, it was already the end of Sukkot, they started thinking about Chanukah. What are we going to do for Chanukah? That's what kept them alive, knowing that there was a holiday on the horizon. He said it was the end of Shmini Atzeres, they had a little candle. They decided to save this little piece of a candle for Chanukah, planning several months ahead. So that Amir Tzashem, when Chanukah comes, they'd have a candle. He said 2 months later, Chanukah came. He said they were riding on a freight train near Siberia, heading towards the middle of Asia. And he said they made that candle the first night, and they lit it, and it was such a simcha. He said, what were they going to do the second night? He said they were scraping the grease. They were scraping the grease off of this train, trying to put it into some type of little cup. Right, and they were taking little threads from their clothing to be able to make a wick, trying to light it. And for a couple nights of Chanukah, they were able a little bit to have something. He said, Shabbos Chanukah that year, there was a terrible snowstorm. And the little bit of grease that they were scraping off the side of the train was all mixed in with mud and snow, and it was a big mess. And they weren't able to use it to light. So they're sitting there that night, Motzei Shabbos Chanukah, and they're thinking, what are we going to do tonight? We so badly want to do this mitzvah of lighting candles. What are we going to do? They decided, we don't have candles, we don't have grease, we don't have anything. What we could do is we could study Hilchos Chanukah. So these 16 Bachrim decided that night they're going to spend the whole night, stay up all night learning Hilchos Chanukah. The same way they would like to have a menorah burning all night, instead we'll burn the fire of Torah all night inside of ourselves. We'll learn Torah the whole night. He said eventually everyone fell asleep except for himself, Rav Chaim Stein, and Rav Baruch Baron. The two of them were still up. He said it must have been 2 or 3 in the morning. All of a sudden, there's a knock on the door of this little freight train that they're sitting in. They open up the door, and there's this burly Russian individual standing there saying, "Does anyone here need to buy candles?" They said, "Yeah, of course." Rav Chaim Stein said it was the craziest thing that ever happened to him. It didn't make any sense. First of all, the only thing this guy was selling was candles. They said, "We'll take all the candles you have." He says, "I only have 2 candles." They said, "Okay, we'll take what you have." They took the 2 candles from him. They traded it for tobacco. They had some tobacco. They had been forced to work at some point chopping wood, and they were paid in food and tobacco. And they saved some of the tobacco to barter along the way. And they were able to trade some of that tobacco for these 2 candles. He said, there was no one who was going around. It was totally out of the ordinary that this fellow would show up selling candles, knocking on the door of the freight train, asking, "Does anyone need candles?" But Rav Chaim Stein said it wasn't an ace. We all look at this and say, "Wow, a miracle, you know, probably Eliyahu Navi in disguise." Rav Chaim Stein said it wasn't an ace. It was a Kadosh Baruch Hu responding to the yearning of Bnei Torah for their love of mitzvahs. Because when a person loves mitzvahs that much, when a person has such a longing and a desire, a ratzon to achieve, a Kadosh Baruch Hu can take one pach of oil and turn it into 8 nights of oil. Or a Kadosh Baruch Hu can give candles to a bunch of bachrim fleeing for their lives in 1941. And he writes in his written account, his handwritten account of this whole incident, his journal from during the war, he quotes from Eliel Lopian, the great mashkiach of Eliel Lopian, who explained the pasuk, "Karov Hashem l'chol karov, l'chol asher yikru'u be'emes." Rav Eliel Lopian explained, "Karov Hashem l'chol karov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there for all who call out to Him, for all who call to Him be'emes." When you ask Hashem for an emistic thing, when you say, "Hashem, I need mitzvahs, I need Torah," if you ask for a new car, Hashem says, "Oh, maybe. We'll see if you're worthy." But if you ask for something be'emes, if you ask for something of MS, you ask for Torah, you ask for mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close by. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more ready to help. I realized something today when I was thinking about this whole sugya of how, again, this Bach, that they lost the Beis HaMikdash because of his rashlis, and they got back the Beis HaMikdash because of this ratzon. I realized, why is it that they had to get the Beis HaMikdash back with the ratzon? Let's go back to the origin of the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan. How was the Mishkan built? You ever think about it for a second? These Jews came out of Mitzrayim. The only skills they had were building pyramids. And all of a sudden, now, they're expected with unbelievable artistic talent to put together these magnificent, you know, tapestries of the Mishkan. Where did they have the talent? How did they know how to do that? There's a question the Ramban asks in Parshas Vayakhel. The Ramban says an amazing thing. Where did they get the skills? Right? Where did they get the artistic training to perform everything that they performed in the Mishkan? And if you read the Pasuk, it says that people came and donated to the Mishkan with an Adivas Halev. They dedicated their hearts. Says the Ramban, "V'tam asher nasu libo." The explanation, what does it mean, nasu libo? They dedicated their hearts. "L'karva el ha-malacha." To be able to achieve the malacha. "Ki lo haya behem shalamad as ha-malacha sa'eila mimalamid." There was not one amongst them who had been trained in this. They had no training in this whatsoever. No one had trained by a teacher. "O misha imein behen yadav klal." Or any of them who had the fine skills, the fine handiwork to create such things. "Aval matzo betivo shiyad dalasas ken." Beautiful line. But they found it in their teva. They found it within themselves. They so badly wanted to make a house for Hashem, says the Ramban, that somehow they figured out how to do it. They were able to awaken that ratzon inside of themselves. "Vayigba libo bedarche Hashem, lavo lifnei Moshe." They had the courage to come, right? A holy gaiva. "Vayigba libo bedarche Hashem." They raised up their hearts in the service of Hashem. They came to Moshe and they said to Moshe, "Ani aaseh kol asher Adoni dover." I will do whatever my master tells me to do. Moshe, you just tell me what Hashem wants and I'll do it. Moshe says, "Where's your training? What art school did you go to?" And they said to Moshe, "It doesn't matter. Moshe, we can do it. You just tell us what needs to be done." The Mishkan was built with ratzon. There's other amazing things throughout history that are like this. Rav Yisrael Meir Druck, in his Sefer Eish Tamid, both in the volume on Shmos, over here in Vayakhel, and also in his volume of Bamidbar, has a beautiful essay in both places where he describes how when a Jew has a ratzon, you can achieve unbelievable things. He said, how did Avram know how to give himself a bris milah? Where did he train? What medical school did he go to? Right? Which moel? Who gave him the Masorah how to do it? But Hashem said, give yourself a bris milah, and he gave himself a bris milah. Right? There's a medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu held his hand, he guided him, right? But it was Avram's ratzon to do what Hashem wanted that gave him the ability. He figured out how to do it. How did Yisrael, how did Klal Yisrael, he says, how did they know how to bring the Karban Pesach? Right? Throughout history, you see examples of things. When they built the Mishkan, there's a Gemara in Erechin that says that people used to come to ask the sages, how do you fix certain things? They had greater wisdom. The genius artisans from Alexandria used to come to ask the Chachamim how to make certain things that they had in the Beis HaMikdash. Because they understood that we had an unbelievable skill, even though we had no training. But when a Jew has a ratzon to achieve something, he's able to figure out what he wants to do. And therefore, I think it's obvious. The same way the Mishkan, the original building, was built on ratzon, as the Sfarim say, tocho ratzuf ava, the whole thing was built on desire. So when the Jewish people messed up by Bayis Sheni and they lost the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem said the only way to get the Beis HaMikdash back, you got to go back to the origin of how this all began. It began with Jews who had a ratzon. The Jews who decided to do something for HaKadosh Baruch Hu without any skill. But they looked inside themselves and they said, this is what we need to do. This idea of having a drive, of having a ratzon, this ability of a Jewish person to find that inner strength and fortitude, which is something that's carried us throughout all of history, is something that I think speaks to mamash the core of who we are. Why is Chanukah called Chanukah? I spoke about it a couple weeks ago, several explanations why Chanukah. The Ran explains very famously that Chanukah is Chanu Chafeh. They rested on the 25th. However, that's the name of Chanukah or not, we certainly know the number 25 is significant when it comes to Chanukah. We start the Yom Tov on the 25th. The Zohar says that Chanukah has a deep connection to Kriya Shema. It's a form of Kabbalah's Omach HaShemayim. And the Zohar says in the Pasuk, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, there are 25 letters. Shema and Chanukah and 25. This number 25 is deeply connected to Chanukah. Chanu Chafeh. We start the Yom Tov on the 25th. Where is the first Chafeh in the Torah? Where's the first time we have Chafeh in the Torah? In other words, where's the first Ko in the Torah? Back in Parshas Lech Lecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram, it's very Chanukadik. Vayotze oso hachutza. He went outside. He took Avram outside. The way that ideally we light the menorah, hachutza, bachutza, the Pesach Habayis. Vayomer habeitna shemayim usvora kochavim mtuchal espor osam. Vayomer lo ko yiyah zaracha. Hashem says to Avram, count the stars if you can. Ko, this is the first Ko, this is the first Chafei of the Torah. Chanukah is called Chanuko. Chanuko. Chanu Chafei, they rested on the 25th, but who rested? Who rested on the 25th? Those brave Chashmonaim, who were Badku, Matzu, they searched and they found the Pashemen. They fought a ridiculous war, and they won. Because they were people who were what? Who were Zochet to this bracha of Ko Yezarech. What's the pshat? The only way to explain this is with the famous explanation of Rav Meir Shapiro. And I know I've shared it with some of you many times in the past, but we'll share it again. Rav Meir Shapiro says, Avram's told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, go outside and count the stars. So Avram walks outside and he starts counting the stars. 10 stars, 100 stars, 1,000 stars, 1,000,000 stars, 1,000,000,000 stars. He's counting and he's counting and he's counting. And he says, Hashem, this is impossible. So Hashem says, it's true, it is impossible. But you're trying. You're trying to do the impossible. When God tells you to do something, you try. Ko yezaracha. Your children will be like the stars. Your children will be like you, Avram, who's trying to count the stars. Who's trying to do the impossible. So you see the very name of Chanukah, Chanukah, Chanu Chafei, highlights this fact that Klal Yisrael seek to do the impossible, that we never give up. That something which looks so small can sometimes be so big, the way the Baal Shem Tov explained the Pasuk. The Baal Shem Tov said, go outside and look at the stars. Your children will be like the stars. When you're far away from a star, it looks very small. But when you get close to the star, when you interact with the star, you get closer to the star, you see the star is a massive ball of gas. You look at this little Pach Shem and you say, what could possibly come from this? But then you try. Ko Yezarachi, you try like Avram tried. And all of a sudden, Klal Yisrael had 8 amazing nights of Chanukah. An unbelievable nace that was created again by their very Ratzon. The core of our being, the Nefesh of a Jew. Sfarim point out that the word Nefesh alludes to Chanukah as well. Because the Nefesh is Rashi Tevos, Ner, Psila, Shemen. The Ner is the candelabra, is the menorah. The Psila is the wick. And the Shemen, of course, is the oil. That's a very famous remez that the Sfarim bring for Chanukah. But the truth is, the word nefesh also means ratzon. The very word nefesh, right? The soul of a Jew, the nefesh, the word nefesh means ratzon. Like we find in Chayei Sarah, when Avram is negotiating a burial plot for Sarah, im yesh es nafshechem likvor es meisi milafanai. If you have a nefesh to bury your dead, what does it mean if you have a nefesh? You have a ratzon. The word nefesh means ratzon. So we see that the Jewish people, our whole core, our essence, is this ability, again, to have this ratzon. And when a Jew has a ratzon, when a Jew, the smallest of all nations, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave over Rabban Biad Ma'atim, but the Jews are willing to try. and they're willing to try with courageous mesiras nefesh, then unbelievable things are sometimes created. Our body comes from the dirt, but our nefesh is a chelek elokami mal. Let's learn the opening Mishnah Bava Kama. First Mishnah Bava Kama talks about the arba avos nezikin. The arba avos nezikin, the four categories, four primary major categories of damages. What are the four categories of damages? Shor, an animal that gores or injures, or damages. Bor, a pit. Mava, and hever. What's mava? What is mava? The Gemara's discussion. Mem, beis, ayin, hey. What is this word? It's interesting. If you look in the Maharam Shif, in his Siyam to Mesachas Bava Kama, it says a very interesting thing. He says these four, as they're presented in the Gemara, shor, bor, mava, hever, correspond to the four exiles. Which means mava corresponds to the third exile, corresponds to Galus Yafa. So what is this mava? And what could it teach us about Hanukkah and our fight against Yafa? So it's interesting. The Gemara says that according to Rav, mava means Adam, means a person. The third category, the third major category of damages is a person. Mava means an Adam. What does the word actually mean? And why does this word mean Adam? Where do you see in the word mava Adam? The word Beis Ayin Hei, that's Shoresh Ba'a, actually means to pray, means to daven. A man is defined, a person is defined by his koach of tefillah, the way that a person davens. Right? How's it go? Adam is mispalo, right? If you spell out the Ben Ish Chai says if you take the word Adam, Aleph, Dalet, Mem, and you spell out the letters, right? Aleph, Aleph, Lamed, Pei. Dalet, Dalet, Lamed, Tuf. Right? Mem, Mem, Mem. So the letters that emerge, right? Not the Aleph, Dalet, Mem, but the letters that are within Aleph, Dalet, Mem, the inner letters that emerge are mispalo. Because the inner essence of an Adam is his koach atfila, is his ability to be mispala. Yeah, write it down. You'll see how it works. Aleph, Dalet, Mem. The inner letters are mispala. So man is defined by the way that he davens. And Chanukah is certainly a time. Lahodosu lahalel. 8 days of halal shalim. A lot of davening, a lot of praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The word ba'a, beis, ayin, hay, means to daven. That's certainly part of our fight against Yavan. Our response to Yavan is the tefilos that we continue to daven. Yaakov says to Yosef in Bereishis Parak Mem Ches, "V'ani nasati l'cha shchem achar al achecho. I'm giving you a portion, one more than your brothers. Asher lakachti miyad ha'amori, becharbi uvakashti." Yaakov says to Yosef, "I'm giving you this territory that I conquered with my sword and my keshes and my bow." Says Unkelis, "Not with my sword and my bow. That's not how Jews win battles. Bitzalusi ubibausi, with my tefillah. Bausi, beis ayin hay, that same shorish. With our tefillah. We respond to Yavan, and certainly it's true, again, during these days, part of our celebration in the victory over Yavan is, again, lahodu sulahal. That's the very nature of the yontif. To use that koach of tefillah in a very, very powerful way. There's no question that's part of defining man, that maveh is an adam. That's why we say in davening, we say in ritzei, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say, usfilasa mehera ba'ava tekabel beratzon. That we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to mekabel our tefilos beratzon. Because that word, beis ayin hay, doesn't only mean tefillah, but it also means a desire. Where do we find that the word itself means a desire? It's interesting. Yaakov said, I just want to add one point. Yaakov said that I conquered that territory, becharbi uvakashti. The translation of bakashti, Unkele says, bitzalusi ubibausi. The keshes corresponds to tefillah. That's what Unkele says. Interesting. If you look in the Bnei Yisachar, he says that the horoscope, the astrological sign for the month of Kislev is the keshes, is the bow. Which means, again, that tefillah is a very essential part of Chodesh Kislev. Right? But that word, beis ayin hay, also means ratzon. Means having a strong desire. Like we find in Yeshayah. The pasuk says in Yeshayah, Perach Chaf Aleph, Amar shomer asa boker v'gam laila. The shomer declares, night has come, the morning has come, and also night. Im tivayun ba'ayu. If you inquire, if you desire, if you want, then you should want. Right? That shorish, beis ayin hay, means to want. Which means, again, the response to the third of the avos nezikin, which corresponds to Yavan. Shor, bor, mava, hever. Mava means ratzon. It means a person of ratzon. That's how we respond to Galas Yavan. We fight back by having a strong ratzon. When we daven, when we talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we express our desire. What do I want? What do I truly want? When I talk to Hashem, what a person says is what they want. The famous pasuk in Mishlei. Matzreif lekesef v'kor lezav v'ish lefi mahalalo. Rabbi Yonah famously explains, ish lefi mahalo, a person can be defined by what he praises. What's he interested in? What does he talk about? What type of language does he use? It says a lot about a person. Interesting story my brother once shared. He said someone came to the house of Rav Kook. knocked on the door, and her cook's daughter opened the door. And this woman was asking for tzedakah. She said, I'm a Jewish woman, I'm here from Yerushalayim, and I'm collecting tzedakah. So Rav Kook's daughter looked at this woman. She didn't seem Jewish, and she didn't seem like she was from Jerusalem. But Rav Kook said, the very fact that she knows that that's a good thing to lie about, that she says, I'm a Jewish woman from Jerusalem, right? At least she says, that's my ratzon, you know, I know that that's a good thing. So we should give her some money. The fact that she knows to lie in such a way, right? That's what she wants to be. She knows that's a good thing to be. Who do I want to be? What do I talk about? What do I praise? Right? Again, tefilasam ba'ava tekabel baratzon, we say in Ritzay. In our davening, Hashem, tefila ba'ava, our tefila, ba'ava tekabel baratzon. The Pashto Pshat is, Hashem, we want you to take our tefila willingly. But you could also say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I understand that the word ma'ava means to daven, and I understand that the word ma'ava means to have a ratzon. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all those times I daven without ratzon, without cheshek, without desire, when my tefila is cold and heartless, I want Hashem that you should accept my tefillah biratzon as if I davened it with ratzon, as if I really meant it when I asked for it. I said slach lanu today without really thinking about what that means, and I davened for Yerushalayim without really thinking about what that means. But Kadosh Baruch Hu, I want you to accept it biratzon. And again, when a person has a ratzon, kaveh el Hashem chazak v'yamitz libecha v'kaveh el Hashem kovei Hashem yachlifu kalach, all these psukim of kaveh of longing, of desire. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes that longing and that desire and He creates miracles with it. It's interesting, the word Kaveh El Hashem, what's the gematria of Kaveh? 116 gematria Kislev. Because it's a month of desire, it's a month of longing. It's a month of Jews trying, having the courage to walk into the Beis HaMikdash, to search, to fight, to dig, whatever it takes, to light that menorah, and to believe that it's possible. If we're willing to try, we can accomplish very great things. The truth is, we heard a shmooze earlier this week, some of us in YU, from Rabbi Sobolovsky. And he was talking about the difference between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. He said Bayis Rishon was a time of unbelievable prosperity. It was a time of independence. It was a time where things were good. Building the first base of Mikdash didn't necessarily take that much ratzon. Bayis Sheni took a bunch of schleppy Jews coming back from Galus. Ezra and Nehemiah trying to rally the people. Many people weren't interested. But there were a handful of Jews who had a ratzon. And they came, and they tried, and they built, and they fought against enemies, and they tried, and they tried, and they tried. The second base of Mikdash was built on Ratzon. So again, Alachas Kam V'Kama, how terrible the crime was, that there were Kohanim, as the Bach said, Behisrash, that weren't interested in the base of Mikdash anymore. Hashem says, the only way you're getting this base of Mikdash back, is if you're willing to try, and to really try. And those Kohanim did try, and again, they achieved unbelievable miracles, transforming the month of Kislev into a month of Nisan V'Neflos. Rabbi Nachman, in his stories, one of the shortest stories, to me, is one of the most powerful stories. It's called The Deer. Listen to the story. The parable is told about a king who chased after a deer but was unable to catch it. The king wanted very badly to catch this deer. And the royal ministers stood themselves up and said, "Our master, the king, let us return. It's enough. It's enough trying. You're not going to catch the deer. The deer is known for its unbelievable speed. You're not going to catch the deer." The king spoke up and said, "I must hunt down the deer. And whoever wants to return, let him return." The king said, "You want to go back? You want to give up? You can give up. But I'll never give up on catching this deer." Of course, the deer might be Rames to Eretz Yisrael Bechlal, Eretz HaTzvi. Right? But again, it highlights this unbelievable desire of never giving up. The king says, "Everyone else can give up. I'm never giving up. I'm going to keep trying. Even if I'm trying to do the impossible. Because Ko Yezar Echa, that's who the Klal Yisrael, that's who we are. People are willing to try. Hayesh Es Nafshechem, to have a nefesh, means not just to have a ner psila shemen of menorah, but to have a ratzon, and a desire, and a willingness to keep trying, no matter what happens in this world." I want to just end with one story and one line from the Chidah in the Sefer Midbar Kedemos. An amazing, amazing story. A really powerful and beautiful story. The story is I heard it from the founder of Bonei Olam, a very important organization that helps young couples who are struggling with infertility. And the founder of Bonei Olam tells the following story. He said it was the first night of Hanukkah. I guess he had lit his menorah, maybe afterwards he needed to run out to a Judaica store, to a Sfarim store, maybe to pick up a gift for someone. I'm not sure exactly what the context was. He said he walked into the store and the place was empty. Everyone was home. Everyone was home lighting their menorahs. He said, except for one person. He said, I was walking up and down the aisles. Mamash, the store was empty. He said, there's one guy, a young married fellow who he recognizes, sitting there by the children's menorahs, looking through these boxes and this display of children's menorahs. This person doesn't have children. So the founder of Bonei Olam says to him, he says, we'll call him Yankala. "Yankala, what are you doing here?" He says, "Don't you have to go home and light?" So he says, He says, I'm heading home to light. He says, but I just wanted to pick up one of these menorahs. I wanted to pick up a menorah for my child. You don't have a child. So he said, I don't understand. What are you doing? He says, I'm going to go home and I'm going to set up my menorah. And I'm going to set up this other menorah for my child, which I don't yet have. And when a Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to my home, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to look at my menorah, as we know in Chanukah, a Kadosh Baruch Hu comes lower than he does any other time of the year. Hashem comes below 10 tefachim. The Gemara says in Sukkah that the Shechina never comes below 10 tefachim. The ideal place to light the menorah is Bachut and Rishus HaRabim. Hashem is called Rishus HaYachid. Below 10 tefachim. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming down to my home to see my menorah. And when Hashem sees my menorah and he sees that child's menorah, and he says, Hashem says to me, what's the kid's menorah for? So I'll tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know why that menorah is here? Because Ribbono Shel Olam, you're going to have children who light this menorah one day. And I still believe after years of suffering, of infertility, I'm not being blessed with a child, I'm not giving up hope. I'm setting up this menorah with confidence that in the month of Kislev, I'm going to do my part to try, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're going to make miracles. An amazing story. And I don't know the end of the story. I don't know that he had a child by next Hanukkah. But again, it highlights the unbelievable strength of Klai Yisrael to keep trying and to keep doing and to keep believing and to keep hoping in the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that ratzon that Klai Yisrael had to get back the Beis HaMikdash for nearly 200 years. I'll end with a quote from the Chida, the holy Chida, Rav Chaim Yosef David Azulai, the great Svardi Chachamim, and he writes in his Sefer Midbar Kademos, the entry is Kivoy. It's arranged alphabetically. Under Os Kuf, in paragraph 16, Kivoy, he quotes a Yalkut Shimoni in Tehillim. He says, Afilu ein, the Yalkut says, the Medrash says, Afilu ein v'yad Yisrael ela ha-kivoy, if the Jewish people have nothing other than Kivoy, other than hope, kedai heim l'ge'ula b'schar ha-kivoy. Hope alone creates school. Chashmonam who try to light a menorah, who try to find a pach shemen. Like the Beis Esther said, maybe just a pach echad shel shemen, an empty flask. Shemar Tomar says the Medrash, maybe you'll say, Avar Kitzir v'chulu. Maybe you'll say, season after season of hope, all in vain, it'll never happen. Talmud Lomar, Kaveh al Hashem, Chazak v'yametz debecha, v'kaveh al Hashem. Yom Tovim of hope. Sfasemes says that Purim and Chanukah were given to us dafka at the end of time, to give us the chizik to keep trying. Chanukah and Purim. Purim is also an unbelievable yom tov of hope, of Esther willing to try to go in without rishus, to push her way in. Hashmonam, we're willing to fight a ridiculous fight with mesiras nefesh and tremendous ratzon, with tremendous kaveh el Hashem, chazak v'yamei sebecha v'kaveh el Hashem. Right? Again, kovei, kuf vav yud, is gematria kislev. And the Svarim also bring a Purim Rambam in this pasuk. Kaveh el Hashem plus Kaveh el Hashem. Like the pasuk says, Kaveh el Hashem, strengthen yourself and try again. Kaveh el Hashem plus Kaveh el Hashem is gematria Purim, 336. It's 168 plus 168. Kaveh el Hashem, Kaveh el Hashem. Right? But the Jewish people are still trying. Lo neshatim kivoy, v'shuvu kivu. Right? The Jewish people keep trying over and over and over again. He quotes from the Tzemach David, from the Sefer Tzemach David. He says the Tzemach David explained this medrash and added one important point. We daven every day, three times a day. Esemach, David, Mehera, Tasmiach, Vekarno, Tarim, Beshuasecha, Kilishuasecha, Kivinu, Kolayam. Esemach, David. Tzemach actually has a lot to do with Chanukah also. Anyone know why? Tzemach, what's Tzemach? Tzemach stands for Tzitzis, Mezuzah, Chanukah. Because the Gemara says you put the menorah on the left, you put the mezuzah on the right, and the Baal Bayis is dressed in his talis in the middle. So Tzemach. The tzitzis and the mezuzah and the Chanukah all represent again that longing for geula. Tzemach is the name of Mashiach. But a semach David meherat hatzmiach v'karno tarim b'shuasecha ki l'shuasecha kivinu kol hayom. For your salvation, we're hoping. So says the Tzemach David, Chida quotes the Tzemach David, Sefer Tzemach David, I don't understand. Ki l'shuasecha kivinu kol hayom? If it's a Yeshua, if it's a salvation, that means we haven't earned it. And if we've earned it, then we don't need to hope for it. What does it mean, ki l'shuasecha kivinu kol hayom? What is it explaining? The im and hadin, because if we've earned it, niska below kivoy, then we earned it. We don't need to hope for it. We earned it. Vehein lo, and if not, ma yawel hakivoy. What good is hoping if you haven't earned it? If it's just going to be a gift from Hashem, what do you accomplish by hoping? Aval pi ha'amor, but based on what we've explained, based on this Yalkut Shimoni in Tehillim, afilu ein biyad Yisrael ela kivoy. That kivoy itself creates geula. Hope and ratzon itself creates geula. And therefore we understand, Etzemach David, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're asking for Geula, we're asking for Yeshua in the merit of our Kivoy, in the merit of the fact that we're still trying, that here in Tafshin Ayin Ches, we're still lighting a menorah, We're still standing at the entrance of our home. So it's waiting for Mashiach to come. Standing there with that light, hoping that Mashiach will come join us in Mirtz Hashem very soon. So Mirtz Hashem, we should continue to be people of Ratzon. Again, to fight against that Rifyon, the Gematria Ratzon. To be people of Nefesh, of Cheshek. Cheshek, the Svarim say, is the Chamishim Sha'ari Kedusha. The 50 gates of holiness are attained through a Cheshek, through a longing, through a Kivui, through a Ratzon. And Mirtz Hashem, if we continue to hope, and continue to try, like those Jews in Bayis Sheni, who had difficult times, but came back and were willing to try. Or like those original Jews who didn't have a clue how to build the Mishkan, but they found somehow the kochos within themselves to create a Mishkan. And Amir Tzashem, Hashem will accept our longing and our desire and grant us the Bayis Shlishi v'mehera b'yamino amin. Thank you for coming.